This morning, our scripture lesson is from the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Andy and I will be splitting this lesson this morning, and it's one that I think many of you will find familiar. And as we often do when we have a familiar verse, we encourage you to listen carefully, to listen with new ears, to see what God might be saying to you in this reading of scripture. I will be reading chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Well, as Kathy said, we are reading one of the post-resurrection stories as it comes to us from the Gospel of John. It's our tradition to take a look at these stories in the season we call the Eastertide as we read about how those early followers of Jesus experienced the presence of Christ in those days following resurrection. So we pick up with the story of Jesus and the disciples on the shoreline. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Why, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said it to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." And he said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us, thanks be to God. What is your default? We're all familiar with that term, default. As many years as we have been living in the age of computers and other devices, we have come to learn that default is what the device automatically goes to. And we can set our defaults on our computers. Some of us can, at least. But the bottom line is a default is what the device automatically goes to. When all else doesn't work, when all the other settings are not there, we can usually get a message that says, "Go to the default." But the question for us this morning is, what is our default? What is our mode of living and being when all else is gone? We just may be living in a time when many of us, on an individual basis, on institutional levels, on national levels, on a global level, we are discovering what our defaults are. In a time of stress, do I default to talking a lot? Do I get silent? In a time of need, do I reach out to help someone, or do I hold on tightly to what I have? These are default positions in our lives. The default is what we choose when we have no other choice. It's usually what makes us comfortable, and it's usually rather easy, and it's usually automatic. We default to certain ways of living and being, and we default to what we know. This is in many ways a way of offering explanation or even a defense for people that we just don't perhaps agree with, that we just don't understand. We say, how in the world could so-and-so say this? How in the world could this person believe this or act in this way? When what is really happening is people are going to their defaults. And our defaults are the things that we have been taught. They are the things that we know deep inside. And if we have grown up fearful, afraid, angry, if those are the things that we practice, then those are the things that we will default to. That's in many ways what psychotherapy is all about. Is a good psychotherapist leads a patient through the process of discovering, what are my defaults? And in many ways, how did those defaults become my defaults? And how can I go about changing them? We all live with defaults. We give deference. We give preference, even prejudice, to our way of living and our way of being and understanding reality. What is your default? Well, in our scripture this morning, in this story from the Gospel of John, in many ways, we are discovering what the default of Peter and the disciples is. Peter and the others who are with him default to what they know. Peter says, "I'm going fishing." Now just imagine what has just taken place, what Peter and these disciples have experienced. They have just spent the past few years with Jesus. Their lives have been changed. They have been taught by Jesus, and they are beginning to see the world in a totally different way. And suddenly, it's not there. Jesus has been crucified. Jesus, sure, has appeared a couple of times. And Jesus has even told them, go to Galilee. At one point in the story, in nearly every one of the gospel accounts, Jesus tells them this, go to Galilee. But once they get to Galilee, Jesus is not with them. They default to what they know, and Peter says, I'm going fishing. Remember, they are all fishermen, this group. Not all of them, but a big portion of them. They are fishermen. They're right back on the Sea of Galilee, right where they grew up, and they go fishing. Now, this is not fishing as a hobby. This is not fishing as recreation. This is fishing as a way of life. This is their livelihood. This is what they do to make a living, to provide for themselves and their families. And now, all of a sudden, they're not traveling around with this group of disciples, having their needs met by different people in other ways. And they fall back on what they know, and they know fishing. It is their work. And they want to go back to work. And that's what they do. They default to their work, and they are fishing. But isn't it just like Jesus, and in this instance, the risen Christ, who has somehow now become everywhere and anywhere at any time? The cosmic Christ. Isn't it just like Christ to interrupt these moments? And that's exactly what happens in this story. Christ appears on the shoreline as another person on the shoreline, and he yells across, hey, have you caught anything this morning? And they have to say, no, we haven't caught anything. He says, well, I've got some fish here. Come on in, and I'll share my breakfast with you. And then he says, well, before you come in, why don't you try the other side of the boat? And they do. And the nets are suddenly full. Now, this is an interesting point in this story. It's when the nets become so full that they can't even get them on the boat that the disciples say what? It's the Lord. That's when they recognize. They know that it's got to be Christ on the shore who told them to do that. And they know it because seems to me there's a story back a little earlier in their lives where he did the same thing one time. And they pull in the fish. And Peter is so excited that he jumps in the water. I've always thought this was a little strange. He was naked in the boat, but he put on his clothes to jump in the water. Seems just a little backward to me, but that's what the story says. Now, I'm told that they fished without clothes on at times because they didn't want to mess up the clothes or get them caught in the nets. I'm not sure about all of that. It just seems a little backward. But that's what he does. He swims to the shore. He gets to the shore. And there is the risen Christ with a little fire going. And he's cooking some bread and he's cooking some fish. And they all come on eventually with all of these fish. And Jesus says, let's have some breakfast. And they do. And then comes the more intense part of this story. Because Jesus wants to know exactly what do they remember? Why have they gone fishing again so soon after all that he has taught them, after all they have experienced, and here they are out fishing again? And he asks a curious question. He says to Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, I want to confess to you that I have most of my life heard this question in this way. And it is also taught this way and translated this way in some versions of Scripture. Do you love me more than these other disciples? That's the way I heard this passage for many, many years. Do you love me more than these other disciples? And it makes sense, but here's an interesting thing that I discovered this past week in looking at different translations, different versions. Most of the more traditional and I would say more accurate translations of our scriptures keep those words, do you love me more than these? But our contemporary English translations have a tendency to translate it, do you love me more than the other disciples? And they actually render the verse this way. I suggest to us that that is a totally incorrect way of reading this story. And as many of you know, my fascination with language, I had to look at this passage a little closer and find out exactly what does these refer to. And I'm going to walk you through just a short little Greek linguistic lesson here. These, the pronoun these is in the genitive case in Greek. Now, we English speakers are not really that familiar with the genitive case because we've got a lot of words that we use to describe different things. The genitive case is very prominent in numerous other languages. And what it does is it relates that pronoun to a noun somewhere else without mentioning it. It belongs to a noun somewhere. The genitive tells you this pronoun belongs to a noun somewhere. It's attached to it. It's describing something. And if you're not familiar with the genitive case and the use of it, then you're going to take the pronoun and associate it with the nearest noun you can. That's the way we do in English. But in Greek, what you need to look for is you need to look for the noun that is also in the genitive case. And it's usually what they call the head noun in the story or the phrase. And if we look back through this story in the 21st chapter of John, if we look for the nouns that are in the genitive case, we find them in verse 10 and verse 11. And this is the key. The only other genitive case in this story are the words referring to the fish that have been caught out in the boat. Even the fish on the shore that Christ is cooking are not in the genitive case. The only genitive in the story are the fish that are caught in the net, that large overflowing net full of fish. That is what these is referring to. And so when Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" He is basically saying, "Peter, do you love me more than all those fish out there? Do you love me more than your work? Do you love me more than just going back fishing?" That's what he's asking him. And that's why he has to push him with three more questions, because he wants to make sure where Peter is in this. And so he pushes him three times with, "Do you love me?" Two more times. He says, "Do you love me more than these? Of course I love you, Lord. Well, then feed my sheep. Do you really love me? Well, of course I do, Lord. Do you really love me? Well, you know I love you, Lord. You know everything." Three times. And many, many people have tied these three questions to Peter's three denials in the night before Jesus was crucified. But what is really happening in this story is that Jesus is pushing Peter and saying, "Did you really get it? Because you sure did go back to fishing very soon." Went to his default. That's what his default was. His livelihood was fishing. That's what he had always done. "I'm going back to it." And Jesus is saying, "Peter, you may not know it, but your world has changed. Does any of that sound familiar? We may not know it. We may be denying it. We may be going back to our defaults, wanting to get back to work. Let's open things up. We got to get back to the way it used to be. We got to get back to normal. We've heard the language now. It's all over the place. We are all searching for what's the next step. And the easy step, the comfortable step, is our default. But what we don't realize is that our default is not going to work anymore, because the world has changed. Let me give an example that many in our congregation, in our community, can relate to. And that is after a medical incident, after a stay in the hospital, after an injury, after a surgery, and even younger generations who have had injuries and surgeries can relate to this. What do we do? Many times we go to rehab. We go to a rehab center where a staff runs us through exercises, and depending on what the injury is, depending on what the surgery was, depending on what our condition is, that rehab is not to make things the way they were. It's to help us learn how to live with the way things are now. And we do it in a rehab center, or we do it with a therapist that comes to our home. And I would like to suggest to us this morning that rehab is what we are looking at as a planet, as humanity, as nations, as individuals. We are in the middle of a crisis. And don't fool ourselves. We are in the middle of it. We are in the middle of the crisis. And every one of us are wanting to jump off the operating table and go back home and start doing things business as usual. Doesn't work that way. We have to begin healing. We have to rehab. We have to learn to do things differently. We want to go back to our default, but we can't. In the same way that Peter and the disciples could not go back to fishing, because Jesus says, follow me. Whatever our default is, my friends, it's time to reassess. It's time to reboot with a new default. But perhaps we don't even know what that is now. But if we will stick with the rehab program, we'll find out. As long as we're following the risen Christ in our lives. Amen. Before hearing our charge and benediction this morning, I want to apologize for those of you at home who were hoping to see the lyrics of that last hymn. We had last week's closing hymn on our PowerPoint here, and some of you may have noticed that. My apologies. But what a beautiful hymn it is about seeking other seas and the Lord meeting us on the shoreline. I found it very interesting this week as I pondered this story, that in all of its ways, it reflects a sentiment that I have encountered in Scripture, I've encountered in literature over and over and over again. And one place that I love this dynamic and it's the way it's stated is from a poem by T.S. Eliot called The Little Giddings. And there's a phrase in that poem that says this: we shall not cease from exploration. And the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. The disciples started off with Jesus on the shore of Lake Galilee. And Jesus came up to them while they were working, while they were fishing, while they were participating in their livelihood, and he said, "Follow me." That's all he said, "Follow me." And after everything they went through, they end up back on that shore. They end up back in those fishing boats. But Jesus is persistent, if anything. And the risen Christ, this time, appears on the shoreline and says, "Follow me." They have returned where they started, but they know it for the first time because their world has changed. And they have a new default. And we need to be searching for ours. Amen.